This week, the early part of the week, I thought my text for this morning would be, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." Now, that was kind of what I'd worked on. But then it changed. So I'm going to go a different route this morning. And so you just kind of pray a little extra prayer that I can use what I believe the Lord would have me to use this morning. From the third chapter of the book of Matthew, and I'm going to use some different scripture, but that's where I'm going to read from. "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, there are a lot of things in those four or five verses that I hope that as you read this particular portion of the Word of the Lord, that you will pick up on. And first of all, to kind of give you the background here, most of you know, this is when John the Baptist was preaching in the River Jordan and had been enjoying tremendous, what I would call tremendous success, in that there had been many, many people who had come out there to hear him. He was a different kind of preacher than what they had been accustomed to. He looked different than what they were accustomed to. He also was preaching a message was different than what they had experienced before. And so there were people who came for different reasons. There were some who came out there, I'm sure, purely out of curiosity. And I've always said this, you know, I'm not really too concerned of what causes people to come, but the responsibility that is mine and is yours as a church is once they get here, that we give them the word of the Lord. Now, that's my responsibility this morning, is to preach to you the word of the Lord. John, as he came, there were some people who came out of curiosity. There were some who, I believe, truly were interested and concerned about their souls. There were some of those people who came out there who already had heard about this man by the name of Jesus Christ who was supposed to be coming. And some of them thought maybe this might be him. And so when they got out there and they listened to him, John was preaching to them a very powerful message, anointed by the Spirit of the Lord. And when he started out, he said, "O generation of vipers." Well, it started out preaching repentance and then said, "O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee the wrath to come?" And so, you know, he knew that these people had come for different reasons. Every one of you here this morning have come maybe for a different reason. There are some of you who are here because you wanted to be here. There are some of you who are here because you thought you needed to be here. There are some of you who probably are just here because that you want to see what was going on. And that's okay. That's not my responsibility to try to decide who's doing what. It's kind of like the lying thing, you know. Sometimes we get to where we're pretty judgmental as God's people as to what the other person is thinking or doing or why they're doing certain things. And we sometimes truly don't know. I spoke at a funeral service this week, and I said to the spouse of the deceased, I said, "You know, it's pretty easy for us to say, I know how you feel. But the truth of the matter is, we don't know how you feel." Now, that may shock some of you, and you may be one of those people who are guilty always saying to people, "I know how you feel." Well, you don't know how they feel. You may know how you feel. You may know, you may think you know how they feel, but none of us know what the other person is actually feeling at any given point in time. Now, some of us have been through that experience, but I will guarantee you that each one of us handle it differently. Each one of us handle differently what thus saith the Lord and the Spirit of God as it works and as it moves in our heart. And so John, when he was out here and he was baptizing people, he recognized that some of those people who were coming there weren't there for the right purpose. He recognized that some of them come out there believing that if he baptized them, that they were going to be okay. And we've still got people today who believe that, and I'm sorry that they do that, because that is very deceptive, it's very misleading, and I want you to understand this morning that just as John said as he was baptizing, I'll have to say this morning, when I take you down into the water and baptize you, I'm not going to have your sins washed away. That isn't going to happen. Well, your sins were washed away when you came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and His blood was applied to your heart, and He forgave you of the sin. But it's not going to happen because I baptize you. I'll take you down there, and I'll baptize you this morning, and you'll become a member of the church. But if you went in as a sinner, you'd come out as a wet sinner. That'd be the only thing that changed. Now, so I think people need to understand that. But John said, as some of those were coming, he said, you need to present some fruit. You need to be able to demonstrate that you are a worthy candidate for baptism. And may I say right here, according to the word of the Lord, there is only one prerequisite to baptism. According to the word, the only thing that I find in there that precludes an individual from being a candidate for baptism is that they cannot say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ with all my heart. And the reason I say that, if you go over and read in the book of Acts where that the Philip, or yes, and the eunuch were going along, and he said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said unto him, if thou believest that Jesus is the Christ, with all thine heart thou mayest. Now that may not be an exact quote, but that's exactly what, and that is the only thing that precluded him from being baptized. So we've got all these ideas today, and we've got preachers who are preaching all these kinds of things of how good you've got to be, and how what all you've got to do, how you've got to be taught and trained and everything about baptism before that you can be baptized. And then you've got those who are preaching that it's what remits your sin. Well, let me ask you something this morning. Why do you think the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized then? He does not have any sin. He was perfect. He wasn't baptized that he might demonstrate that his sins had been forgiven, because he had no sin. He was baptized to set an example for each one of us. That's exactly why he was baptized. It wasn't that his sins had been forgiven and that they were buried and forgiven him and that he was going to arise to walk in the newness of life, because he had no sin. He was perfect. But he set an example for us. And in his word, he teaches us to follow him. That's one of the first things that I every once in a while get on my high horse about this and say to people, you can tell me all you want to about you being saved and how that you're following the Lord, but if you've never followed the Lord in the ordinance of baptism, you've never followed him the first thing that he says for you to do. Jesus says he came down here, and as he saw what was going on, he went down to John to be baptized of him. John said, no, wait a minute. He said, he had already told these people, he said, there cometh one after me, the latches of whose shoes I'm not even worthy to unloose. He is so much more, because some of them thought this was the Christ. And John said, no, I'm not him. With he that's coming after me, I'm not even worthy to unloosen the shoes on his feet. But when Jesus came down there and said to John, you baptize me, John said, no, I need to be baptized of you, not me baptize you. And Jesus said, suffereth it to be so. For thus it behooveth us to fulfill all righteousness, to fulfill all scripture. Let me tell you something. God's word is true. God's word is accurate. God's word is going to be fulfilled. And Jesus knew that this was part of the great plan of God. And this was the beginning of his public ministry. Now, why again was he baptized? To set an example for each one of us. What did he say a little later to his disciples? Whenever that he had said to them, come follow me, come follow me. Then he said unto them, ye are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but put it on the candlestick that it may give light to all those that are in the house. Now you got to turn over to the book of Revelation to find out when he was talking about the candlestick. What's he talking about? Go over in the book of Revelation and you'll find where that the final preacher of the word of the Lord, John, who was there on the Isle of Patmos for the word of the testimony of the Lord, whenever he began to see the visions that God had given unto him and he saw the seven golden candlesticks, the Bible says the candlesticks are the churches. Place your life on the candlestick that it may give light to all those in the house. You don't take and put a light on And then cover it up, not reasonably. Now somebody will say, well, I do sometimes. Well, that's just not very reasonable. Why didn't you just leave it off? I'm sure you'll have an explanation for me, but that's okay. You get my point. You know, let your light shine, that it may be of help to all those that are in the house, that it might glorify the Lord. And so John, whenever he was here, the Bible says that he took Jesus down, he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Now, I'm sorry, folks, but being a Baptist, I've got to believe in immersion. I don't have to, but I do. I don't have to believe that, so maybe I better be careful what I'm saying here. But I do believe that. And I believe it's scriptural because I don't know how you could come straightway up out of the water if it was not immersion. I baptized a lady one time, and I've told some of you this, and they thought it was kind of funny, but it wasn't really that funny to me at the time. It's been funny since then. But when I baptized her and I put her under the water, her feet shot up. So I didn't have her all the way under, so I just pushed her down a little farther. I finally got her feet all the way under, and when she came up, she said, is that all? I thought, lady, I was about to drown you just to get you all the way under. But no, what she thought was is that I was going to baptize her once in the name of the Father, once in the name of the Son, and once in the name of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm sure she had a reason for thinking that, because there are some churches who practice that. And so, you know, she thought maybe I had just kind of cheated her a little bit, but she got more than her money's worth, I'll tell you for sure. It just took a little longer to get under. But listen, the Bible says Jesus coming straightway up out of the water. And so there's no question in my mind that whenever John baptized him, he baptized him exactly the way that I'm going to do it today. And they take him down into the water, you put them under. And Paul writing said, you know, that this demonstrates something. It demonstrates to the world. It's a testimony to the world that we've died to the old man of sin and that we are alive. And I'm jumping ahead of myself, because first you got to die, then you got to be buried. And so we bury them in the liquid grave. And then they arise to walk in the newness of life. We are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Not because we've been baptized, but because the Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed our soul and saved us, and we are now saying to the world out there and to everybody else that we are placing our life on the candlestick that it may give light to all those who are in the house. It's just that simple. I don't know anything about it. Now there's something else you need to see here. When Jesus came up out of the water, the Bible said the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Now, here we've got the Lord Jesus Christ in the body. He's physically here. Don't you ever doubt that for a minute. I still run into people all the time who can't seem to grasp this idea that we're going to have a physical body after that we die. And when we get to heaven, they're still all floating around out here. We've seen too many movies, and we've had too many pictures of saints who are ghosts. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to have a body. I'm going to have a physical body. It's going to be a perfect body. But I guarantee you, you're going to have a body if you're one of God. Well, you're going to have a body anyway, whether you're one of God's children or not, because you're going to have a body either in heaven or hell. No question about that. But anyway, now listen, you've got Jesus the Christ here. He's here. He's just been baptized. And the Bible says then the Spirit came in the form of a dove and lighting upon Jesus, and a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." God the Father. See, you've got all three of them right here. First time that I'm aware of in the Word of the Lord that you've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all here, and it's recorded in the Word of the Lord. So I don't have any problem whatsoever in standing and talking about the Trinity and talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, because I can substantiate by the Word of the Lord. There are a couple of other occasions where that Jesus or where God spoke concerning His Son, and the Spirit was involved. So there are some times in the Word of the Lord that would substantiate my position. It says that when we believe in the Trinity, that we can show that, demonstrate that in the Word of the Lord. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven." Not to glorify us. So when we go down here in a little while and administer the ordinance of baptism, and then you're going to hear me when I say, when I do this, I will say, "By the authority vested in me by the Elkton Baptist Church, I baptize thee, my sister." Well, you know why I say that? Because that's where the authority is vested. The authority is not invested in me, not invested in an individual. Now, ever so often, I'll have someone come to me and say, I would like for you to baptize me, but I don't want to become a member of the church. Would you just do that?" I said, "I'm sorry, I can't do it." But do you know why I can't do it? Now, see, a lot of people don't understand that. Well, you're a preacher. Well, yeah, I am. And God called me to preach. And I can preach anywhere, anytime that God will permit me to. And people let me. But I don't have the authority to baptize anyone because the authority was not given to me. The authority was given to the church. It was placed in the church. And you know what it was placed there? Whenever that Jesus had been crucified, and whenever that he got ready to go back to heaven, and he said, "Go you therefore into all the world." Who was he talking to? Some people said, "Oh, he was talking to Christians." No, he wasn't talking to the Christians. He was talking to the church. Don't you ever forget for a second to go back and read again and see who was there whenever that he was talking about this. There wasn't ever a Christian there. They were Christians who were there. And one of the requirements of some of those people who were there, because one of them was going to have to be chosen to take the place of Judas, was that he had to be a person who had covenanted with them from the baptism of John. So he had to have been baptized by John to take the place of Judas, who fell by transgression. You know, sometimes people, I'm just amazed at how seldom we put all these things together, and how sometimes people just say, "Well, you know, that it sounds better if you can just say everybody." But the authority, the commission, was given to the church, and it stayed with the church, and it's still with the church today, because the church is still in the world, and until the Lord comes and takes it out of the world, that commission will remain with it, and the authority will rest with it. Now, I'm getting some of you a little uncomfortable, I guess, so I guess I better back off. And I looked at the clock, and my time's about up. But anyway, sometimes you all need to hear a little scriptural doctrine. Sometimes you need to just have your pure mind stirred up so that you're going, well, I don't know whether I believe that preacher or not. Well, go home and get your Bible out and read the thing and see if I'm not telling you the truth. And don't just go and nitpick everything out that you think will fit whatever you want to believe. Just take what the Word says. But take all of it. Don't just take parts of it. I don't have any problem at all with the entire Word of the Lord from in the beginning in Genesis to Amen in Revelation, because I believe it's God's Word. Do I understand it all? No, I don't understand it all. Can I explain it all? No, I can't explain it all. But I believe it's His Word, and I believe it is perfect, and it's there for each one of us for our edification and for His glorification. And so whenever that I've taken you down in there and I say, and I baptize you by the authority vested in me by the Elkton Baptist Church, it's because the church has given me as the pastor the authority to do that. And so I just can't go out here and decide, well, yeah, I like you, and well, I'll take you out here and baptize you, and you can just go out here. I don't know what I don't understand why people want to do that. But some of them do. And sometimes they get offended because I won't do it. But I don't have the authority to do it. I just, you know, anyone, you have as much authority as I do. Which, by the way, whether you realize it or not, as far as I'm concerned, the church can probably give any one of you the authority to do a baptizing. Now, I hope that you don't line up and decide that you want to baptize somebody because you've got it in for them and you want to hold them under a little longer or something. But no, just kidding about that. I don't know that I've got any scriptural basis for that, other than to tell you the authority rests with the church. But John said, bring forth fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourself, we have Abraham unto our fathers. For I say unto you that God is able with these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. The axe is laid to the root of the tree. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the lake of fire. So tradition isn't going to cut it. If I had to rely on tradition, I wouldn't have been here today, because the Parson family wasn't, other than my grandma Parson, well, they weren't just too much on church going. My dad wasn't a church goer. My mom had gone when she was a little girl, so I couldn't very well say, well, you know, because I'm a Parson, I'm entitled to this. I'm not. It's not by your family ancestors, or it's not by how many times you've been in church, but it's whether or not the Lord Jesus Christ has come into your heart. And so today, when we go down to administer the ordinance of baptism, it's an indication that the candidate has passed from death unto life, that they have become a new creature in Jesus Christ and are alive forevermore.